So when you hear the voice that doesn't line up with what God has said about you, throw it out. Amen? Start declaring, decreeing what God said to be true. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal or of human origin, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare, He's given us His Word. Amen? The sword of the Spirit. And David said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I wouldn't sin against you. We feed, amen, on the bread that Jesus serves. He serves fresh bread, amen? Amen. He never serves stale stuff. Men may serve you stale stuff. But when God speaks, it's fresh. When the Holy Spirit is ministering, it's life and peace. So we come before the Father every day and we say, Father, give me this day my daily bread. I need provision. I need not only provision, but I need the supply of your Spirit, but I need my assignment as well. Romans 14:17 has kind of been the theme. And for the kingdom of God, we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're not talking about practicing religion, playing church. We're talking about the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the food and drink that we're talking about is spiritual. Amen? Amen. He is serving fresh bread. Eat. He's serving wine, the best. Drink. Let your soul rejoice in the Lord. A lot of folks don't know what it's like to drink of the new wine. Because in a lot of circles, they don't even understand what it is. They didn't even know they had access to it. I mean, I know it's God's presence, but His presence rejoices your heart. That's why people are drinking in the world and getting stoned, because they're trying to feel good. We don't need to feel good on the world's method, amen? God says, come to my presence. Come into my banqueting hall. Let me show you my wine cellar. I serve only the best. And you've been given access by faith to come and drink as much as you like. So drink until you have joy. We come before Him broken, empty. We come before God as not having anything really to offer. The only thing that you and I have to offer God is what He's already given to us. You can't give Him glory unless you receive glory. You can't give Him honor unless you've been honored. Uh-oh. We can't give God anything, okay, that He hasn't first given to us, folks. Our God is benevolent. Our God is a loving Father. Our God wants to give good gifts to His children. Our God really does, despite what the cynics out there and the negative people out there are saying, God really does want to bless you. God loves His children. Do you not want to bless your children? Do you not want your children to be happy and fulfilled? Of course. God wants you to be happy. That's what it means to be blessed. It means to be extremely happy. When God promised Abraham and Sarah a child, they named him what? Isaac. What does Isaac mean? Laughter. They say children laugh around 400 times a day. Adults, 17, average. Jesus said that we must repent and become like little children. I think we need to do some repenting in here. Including me. God is happy. There is joy. There is wine that He serves, and it's the best. If the Lord is serving wine, drink. Sometimes He serves wine and bread at the same time. But if he's serving bread, then eat. But whatever he gives is fresh. It's new. It's not stale. I came that you might have life. He didn't say, I came that you may just scrape by in a very miserable way, but that you might have life and life more abundantly. Abundance of life is by receiving from him who is abundant. He's the satisfier of our soul. The kingdom of God is not food and drink naturally, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many here would agree with me that we certainly need peace? Yes. The world is looking for peace. Looking for peace in the wrong places, but looking for peace. How many know that they're never going to meditate world peace into existence? The problem is the heart. There is no peace, says the Lord, to the wicked. The heart has to be transformed. You need to receive his peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. But my peace. We need peace. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness. What is righteousness? It means to be in right standing with God. If you do not believe that you are righteous, then you will never live righteously. I'm not talking about self-righteous. I'm talking about that you are righteous in Christ. If you do not believe that you are righteous in Christ, you will not live righteously. If you've put it all upon yourself to be righteous, you'll never live righteously. Because our righteousness does not qualify us for his presence. We come into his presence that we might receive his righteousness. When we worship in spirit and in truth, we receive of his presence. We receive of his righteousness. He, the Lord, clothes us in himself. And when we're clothed in himself, we are qualified to come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly to the Father. Not in fear, not in guilt, not in shame, not in condemnation, but in confidence. Because my confidence is in my God, who is my righteousness. When I come into his presence, righteously clothed in his robes, then I have confidence before my Father. I've got the royal garments on. You put it on by prayer. Lord, clothe me in your righteousness. And then as a result of righteousness that is imputed or given to us, then we have peace. And the result of peace is what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants us, folks, to walk joyfully. Wouldn't Paul say, rejoice in the Lord always? And again I say, rejoice. So you know you're getting strong in the Lord when you have joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Isaiah 32:17, the work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. That's talking about a soul that is at ease. A soul that is at rest. God has provided a place for us to come into intimacy with Him where we can rest in His presence. A place that is free from stress. A place where there is perfect peace near the heart of God. Folks, when there is a lack of peace in our lives, it means that there is a presence of fear. You cannot walk in fear and peace at the same time. This true peace of the Lord is supernatural. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." To His disciples, He said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world." Many know that the Spirit of the Lord brings peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's no religious bondage. Amen? You're free. And you don't have to allow anybody to put you in their box. Isn't that nice to know? Yes. That you can be you. That you don't have to perform for man. We're not performance driven here. We walk in the grace of God. I'll walk in the peace of God as a result of the righteousness of God that clothes me. When I have peace with God, joy is the end result of that. Someone once said that joy is peace dancing. Folks, God wants us to know today that we can have joy. It doesn't matter how your life has been in the past, how long it's been rotten and stinky, but God wants you to have joy in His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. God wants you to have joy. So the world needs to see joyful Christians. They need to see Isaacs. They need to see laughter. Happy people. Not fake happy people that are going around with a plastic smile, but people that are genuinely happy. Yeah. Yeah. People that are high on Jesus. Drink. Drink up. Go ahead, drink up. Just take another drink right now. And say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that drink. Thank you, Jesus, for the new wine." Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and other little boats were also with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" How many know that Jesus wasn't stressed out at all? Then He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Now, you know the Lord could have prevented that storm from ever coming. But the Lord allows storms at times to teach us something. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Wow. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he demonstrated in every way that he was God incarnate. Even to the degree where he gave his disciples, was it Peter, James, and John, a glimpse of his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration? But he demonstrated in every way that he had power, even over the elements, over the winds and the waves. Even the sea obeyed him. Now, I haven't heard of any other prophets that have ever been able to do that. Have you? Has Buddha? Has Muhammad? Has any other prophet ever commanded the seas and the winds and the waves and that they obeyed him? No. Why? What was the difference? What made Jesus different? Hello? God became a man and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Amen? Jesus took upon himself the form of a man. Just the form of a man. Even though he was in very nature God. Now, it's easy for you and I to be excited about the truth in the classroom. There's a difference between being in the classroom and being in the boat. We can get excited about messages that we hear, teaching that we receive, and we can receive with joy the Word of God. And that's a good thing. It should delight our hearts. It should delight our souls. But folks, you're not going to know what you're really capable of doing or applying until you're put into the time of testing. Amen? You need to consider it all joy, as James said in chapter 1, right? Brethren, verse 2, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, patience. That word testing means to practice. To try out. You've got to have something in your hand, amen, to work with. It's not enough just to say, "I believe." Many people say, "I believe. Oh yeah, I believe in the Bible. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit." We teach all about the gifts of the Spirit. We've got our doctrine just so, just perfectly lined out here. This is what it's like. We can explain all day long to you what God is like, what God can do. We can explain to you what God can do. We can explain to you what God says belongs to us, the church. But folks, we got to get out of the classroom and we got to get into the boat with Jesus. Amen? You got to start applying this word. You got to start doing what he said to do. You got to start stepping out in faith. For the just shall walk by faith and not by sight. We're not here to be ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. There are those who are ever learning and learning and learning, but they never know how to live out the truth. Truth is what's real, what's really real. It's reality. This kingdom we're talking about is a very real kingdom. It's a reality. The kingdom of heaven is among you now. It's not enough to just talk about it. We need to be walking it out. We need to be experiencing the gospel. We've got to be demonstrating by our lives, by the fruit of our lives, by our walk, that God is alive, that Jesus is risen indeed. God wants His people to bear witness to the fact that Jesus is risen. How many know, folks, it's not enough just to have Bible studies. It's not enough just to hear messages. It's not enough just to go to the classroom, folks. We've got to be out there applying what we receive. Trusting Jesus in the classroom and on the boat are two different things. It's easy to trust Jesus in the classroom. It's getting quiet in here. See, it's in the boat, folks. It's in the everyday experiences of life, the difficulties of life, that truth is fully understood. I'm learning the truth, folks, not just about what I get up here. Are you with me? But what I experience, what I'm encountering often on a daily basis, different trials, different difficulties. These are not bad things. They're actually opportunities to see the awesome power of God in my life. Amen. The testing or the trying out of your faith, the applying of your faith. Well, let's see if this thing will work. Elisha said, he struck the water and said, "Where's the God of Elijah?" He believed. He didn't just say, "I believe it's a mantle. I believe it can do miracles." He had to pick it up, amen, by faith. He had to receive it, and then he had to strike the water. By faith, he said, "Where's the God of Elijah?" And the waters parted. Now we've gone from the classroom to the application of the thing. We can say, yes, God is peace. God is my peace. But you don't know God as your peace until you've been in the storm. You don't learn that Jesus is the one who calms everything down until you've been in the boat with Him in the storm. Jesus was asleep in the boat. He wasn't stressed out at all. He didn't leave Him. He was with Him. Didn't Jesus say, "I'll always be with you"? So no matter what's happening to you, if you're in Christ today, He hasn't left you. It may seem that way. They said, "Lord, don't you care that we're perishing out here?" I can see Jesus saying, "Oh, chill out, guys. Come on, man. I was just in the middle of a good dream and you messed it all up." You see, Jesus did not allow His external circumstances to dictate His internal peace. Our peace comes from the Lord. "My peace," He said, "I give unto you." He's giving it to us as a gift. What is the gift? He gives of Himself. He gives His Holy Spirit. He gives His presence. He's our peace. If there's a lack of peace in your life, it means that there's the presence of fear. You need the love of God to be shed abroad in your hearts that will cast it out. It's not enough just to know what God says about something. How many know it's not enough to just know the principles either from God's Word? Aren't you glad that God has given us principles to live by in the Word? The trying of your faith, the experimenting of your faith, produces patience. You're not going to know patience unless you've been tested. You're not going to know that God is your peace until you've spent some time in the storm. Amen? And you've learned to call upon the name of the Lord. You've learned to trust Jesus in the boat. Amen? Now, the Lord wants His people to understand who He is, that He's true to His Word, that His promises are true, that whatever He promises you, He will do. If Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you,"
He means it. If Jesus says, let's get in the boat and go to the other side, that means that we're going to the other side. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter if there's a storm on the way. The fact that Jesus said, we're going to the other side, means that, guess what? We're going to the other side. So we should not be stressed out. We should not be living in fear on the journey. Why? Because the Prince of Peace is in us. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that you have peace with God, then you won't. If you don't believe that you are righteous in Christ, then you won't live righteously. If you believe you're a loser, chances are you'll be a loser. If you believe you're worthless, chances are you'll live a worthless existence. You know, it even has to do with appearance. You know what? I know I'm not the best looking guy in here. Almost, but not quite. But you know what? It's the inner beauty of the Lord, you know, that I see in you. It doesn't matter what your tent looks like, because it's all going to wear out eventually anyways, right? No matter how much nipping and tucking and plaster you put on it, whatever. It's just going to get old and wear out. You're going to get a new suit. A heavenly suit. But when you see a person who has that inner beauty and they know their identity in Christ, there's something beautiful about that person. Amen? It's not... But if a person feels and believes that they're ugly, are you with me? It's amazing how just the way that we think can affect the way that we live. When they were getting ready to go into the land and Moses sent out the 12 spies, you remember many of them came back with an evil report and talked about the giants in the land and that we were like grasshoppers in their sight. And because they thought that they were grasshoppers in their sight, guess what? So they were. If you believe you're just a little bug, an insignificant bug, that's generally how you're going to live. But if you understand your identity, that you are a child of the Most High God, that you are royalty, a royal priesthood, that you're a holy nation, amen? You're God's own special people. You live and you identify with that, the truth. And the truth sets you free from the lies that says you're not. If you don't think you can, you probably won't. But if you can say, as with Paul, I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who are you going to believe? True faith will produce experiences. Now, experiences don't produce faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. Amen? Receiving the voice of the Lord, listening and hearing the voice of God produces faith. God says, I love you. God says, you can. God says, you're an overcomer in me. God says, you are now the righteousness of God in Christ. God says you are more than a conqueror. Well, I don't feel that way. Well, start telling yourself what God says. Amen? Start renewing your mind. If you get a thought that says anything against what God says, throw it out. Don't think about it. Don't dwell on it. Start dwelling on what God says. Get in the Word and begin to learn the promises of God and begin to claim them for your own life. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So if there's fear in my heart, that's not of God. God didn't give me fear. God gave me power and love and of a sound mind. Amen? Self-control. Romans 6:11 says this, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because if you believe that you are free from sin, you will walk in victory. I'm going to say it again. If you believe that you are free from sin, you will walk in victory. If you don't believe that you are free from sin, you will continue in bondage to sin. So you have to consider yourself now, because you died with Christ, and were buried with Christ, amen, risen by the power of God. I now consider that I am no longer who I was. The old me is dead. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I believe what God said. I hate even to hear that where people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now, let me qualify that, because, folks, if you're in Christ, that old identity had been crucified with Him. So, it's like the alcoholic that says, I'm an alcoholic. 30 years later, I'm an alcoholic. No, you're not. How long has it been since you've had a drink? Well, I've been sober for 30 years now. Then why are you saying that? That's the initial recognition is okay to say, hey, I'm an alcoholic, I need help. But when Christ comes in and He sets you free, don't say that anymore. Whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. I'm free in Christ Jesus. If you say those things about yourself, you give power to those things to rule you. Power of life and death is in the tongue. God's given me a new mind. Hallelujah. God's done a lot in my life. I need to be thankful for so much. You know, sometimes, folks, we put more faith in the power of sin than we do in the power of God to give us victory over it. If you fear sin, you'll serve it. If you believe that your sin can dominate you, it will. If you believe you're dead to it, it can't touch you. Let me say it again. If you believe you're dead to sin, if you reckon yourself or consider yourself dead to sin but alive to God, sin cannot have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you have come into Christ. You are a new creation. You're not a sinner. It doesn't mean you don't sin and make mistakes. It means your identity is no longer as a sinner. I'm not a sinner anymore. I stumble. I make mistakes. I sin on occasion, probably more than I realize. But I have an advocate with the Father. I can call upon the name of the Lord. But my identity is not a sinner. If you believe that about yourself, you will live that identity. Is this making sense? God wants us to renew our thinking, our minds. Change your thinking. Repent. Change the way you're thinking about these things. God wants you to be free. He doesn't want His people bound by anything. No addiction in my life. I'm not going to be under the power of anything. Why? Because Christ has set me free. Because Christ is my Lord. I'm under His authority. I'm under His power. His grace is sufficient for my need. I don't even like talking sometimes my testimony. Sometimes it's necessary, but I only give it when God tells me to. Because sometimes you're just given power to the old life and almost in some ways glorying in the old life. I hear some people talking about all the bad things they did. It's almost like they're enjoying themselves. Talk about it, you know. As they talk about it. We got to be careful. We don't glory in our shame. We give our testimony. We say, this is what I used to be, and this is who I am today. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not who I used to be, but I'm also not who I'm going to be. God's in the process, amen, of working on me. But what I do is I walk in my new identity. I walk in the new life. I'm born again. The old man is dead. I'm a new creation. I'm dead to sin, but I'm alive to God. Sin is not going to be my master anymore. Why? Because I'm under Him. He's my master. You can yield yourself to sin and it becomes your master again. But if you believe that you are free from sin, which you actually are in Christ, then you can walk a life that'll please God. You can live a life that'll please Him. So many children grow up and become certain things in life because of words that were spoken over them when they were young. You're this, you're that. And after a while, if they keep hearing the same thing, they start to believe that about themselves. And then all of a sudden, they find themselves actually living out that identity, which was a lie in the first place. Well, what Jesus wants you to know is that whatever things had happened in the past, they're under the blood. Have you forsaken your sins? Have you called on the Lord? Have you asked the Lord to forgive you? They're under the blood. He's not holding them against you anymore, folks. Why should you hold it against yourself any longer? See, God tests us. At times, He allows us to go through tests to find out if we believe Him or not. There's a difference between being in the classroom and being in the boat. But it's in the boat that we learn that our Lord is faithful. It's in the boat that we learn that our Jesus is going to be there. He's going to give us victory. Hallelujah. Isn't it true that the world's version of peace is based upon having all the right conditions around you? That was my interpretation of peace. As long as everything was going my way. Even the world, amen? I mean, they can be happy when the sun's out and life is good. And you just think, man, they're pretty good Christians. They're joyful. In fact, sometimes they're more joyful than Christians, right? When things are going their way. But boy, as soon as the storm hits, now we're self-medicating. Now we're going to the shrink. Now we're sitting through counseling and they're laughing on the way to the bank because they know they really don't have what they have the answer. They'll keep you coming back for years because it's lucrative. You just need to get your life right with Jesus. Jesus can set you free in a moment. You got to make up your mind that I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to listen to that voice that tells me I'm nobody or I can't do it or I'm this or I'm that. I'm going to listen to the voice of truth that tells me a different story that says I am a child of God and sin is not my master. Amen. Addiction is not going to have that hold on me any longer. Philippians 4:6, most of us love this. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, that means earnest entreaty, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's the time, folks, in the boat with Jesus that we really learn to trust Him. If you're in Christ today, He's in the boat with you. And guess what? He's not going to leave you. Guess what? If He said, we're going to cross the lake together, trust Him. You know, you're not going to trust Him until you've gone across the lake with Him. And I said this before, but I want to say it again. But who is in your boat is more important than what happens to your boat. No matter what happens in life, no matter what happens to me, I'm His property. I've been bought. Amen? I belong to Him. He belongs to me. Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me. No matter what happens, if somebody takes out a gun and blows me away, hey, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're not going to walk in fear. We're not going to walk worried and stressed out. Not when we have the Prince of Peace living on the inside of us. We have access to, amen, the very throne of His grace. We can come into the secret chambers with Him and shut ourselves into the secret place with Him. Hallelujah. And abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Just as a hen would brood over her chicks, we can be like those chicks that'll just run under our mother's hen's arms. Amen. Her wings, and just find peace and refuge in that place there. If you find yourself being anxious, it just means that you need peace in your heart. It means that you're walking in fear. Anxiety is a form of fear. Perfect peace comes from the Lord. Peace that passes all understanding. The psych can only try to work on the soulish realm, amen? But he can't fix the peace problem, folks. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the one that gives us peace. So why worry? Why worry about anything? Why worry anymore? Why not just lean back in His arms and just let go? Why don't you just find your refuge in Him and God? Why don't you just get on your knees and seek His face? And you'll find that His grace is more than enough for you. You will find that that anxiety and that fear and whatever the problem is nothing compared to the mighty grace of God that is available to you if you will come. You want to know what the problem is? Is that people don't take the time to seek His face. People don't take time to get into His presence. People come in like drive-through window Christianity. And if I don't get it in 5 minutes, it ain't going to happen. And so they come in empty and they leave empty. Sometimes you need to wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Whatever happened to time at the altar where people would pray and pray until they had breakthrough. Till they pray till the old man and that part of them that was dominating them with fear would die. And the new man would rise up in the perfect peace of God, and they walk away from there and saying, now why was I so stressed out? Why was I so worried? I really don't have a problem that's too big for God. You learn that in the boat. You learn that in the storm. You learn that in the test. It's not enough to know about Jesus. You need to walk with Jesus. Amen? It's not enough to know what Jesus can do. You need to start applying what Jesus said to apply and do. It's not enough to say, okay, I believe that about myself. It's time to start walking out who you are. Faith is something that needs to be exercised. Faith is something that needs to be practiced. The trying of your faith. Huh? Okay. How many of you are dealing with something right now? Just show hands. You're dealing with something in your life right now. It's just, yeah. How many know that usually that'll drive people to church too? It's not a bad thing, by the way. But we're all going through something. Amen. Or if you're not, you will. So what do? We stress out. We go to the psychiatrist. We worry and chew our nails and eat Rolaids. Or like me, your hair falls out. We run into the arms of Jesus, who is in the boat with you. He hasn't left. Jesus may be asleep. You just got to say, Lord, Lord, help. He said, relax, relax. What are you so worried about? Life is good in the God zone. You just got to get in the zone with me. So when we get into the zone with Jesus, it's like, oh yeah. How many came in kind of like, you know, you, maybe you just been, you had a bad week, a heavy week, and you came in, it's like you walked into the water, and you're just like, oh yeah, that's right. I almost forgot how good His presence was. You see, God says anytime, whoever desires, let him come and drink of the water of life free. Without charge, without cost. Whoever's thirsty, let him come and drink. Amen? And you don't have to have just a little sip. You can drink as much as you like. And if you're feeling a little depressed and maybe a little bummed in life, have another drink. Come on. Why do people go to bars and drink? They're trying to just forget about life, right? They're trying to escape. They're trying to feel better. God says, come to me. If you want to feel good, come to me. God is so awesome. God is so pleasurable. Religion has taught us that God is angry, that God is, you know, He doesn't care, that God is into all this form and ritual and lighting candles and wearing robes and doing this and doing that, most of which is not even in the Word. Amen? But God is saying, come to me. When Jesus showed up, He called His disciples and He said, basically, come hang out with me for a while, guys. I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to show you how to be a fisher of men. I'm going to show you how to be an overcomer. And people wanted to be around Jesus because He was so pleasurable. Come on, you want to be around people that are pleasurable, right? I'm going to finish with this. Our experiences in life help us to grow and to develop and have a better relationship with Jesus, because they draw us to Him. We go to Him for grace. We go to Him for help. And then we realize that just as He promised, He was going to come through for us. Sometimes in the midst of the test, the storm may be raging, and instead of you're saying, Jesus, help, and instead of getting lighter, it's getting darker. Uh-huh. Nobody's ever experienced that here before, I'm sure. Sometimes the long seasons, you know, of uncertainty. But when the joy of the Lord breaks through, when He comes, when He intervenes, when He rises up, you're like blown away. Just like the disciples, their jaws are hanging open and they're saying, whoa, what just happened here? Who do we have in the boat with us? You're not going to know who you have in the boat with you unless you go through some storms together with Him. And then He will demonstrate His awesome power in your life. So if you're going through something right now, it's an opportunity for you to grow and for you to experience the awesome power of God in your life. What you need to do is call upon His name. Would you stand this morning? Thank you for coming.